I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. And we're going to go to verse 105, which is kind of like the theme verse for our church. At least that's what I picked a long time ago. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What I want to share this morning is I want to share what God has given us in His Word. I want to share who He has called you to be and what you got to do about it. I mean, how's that? That's for a broad topic. I just want you to contemplate and to think. God has given us this Word as a light. He has given us this word as a lamp, a light unto our feet. He has given you His word because He loves you. He's always given His people His word because of His love, because He wants them to do well. He wants them to have the best. He wants you to walk in deliverance. He wants you to walk in wholeness and peace. It's all about what He wants for you. And when you realize that everything that's in this scripture, if you need something on any subject, in any manner, it's in His Word. And it will put a light, just like on a dark path, to your feet. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. It says in verse 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. For he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." You know, God has given us, He's given us all this instruction. He has given us His word. He has given us His ways. He has shown us how much He cares, how much He loves. And He's done it for our benefit. He has put this out, and you know what He wants from us? He wants us to be, I'm looking for this. I'm hanging out in front of the house. I'm waiting for you to come out. I'm hanging out at the door. I want what you got. That's the picture. I want what you got. You don't want it? You love death. And you are going to sin against your own life. You know, your sins don't affect Him. Did you ever think about that? I think, you know, people think, well, God sees you sinning. He gets all bummed out. He's God. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. You know, he tells us that he feels this, but it's for your life. He has no pleasure in the death of the unbelieving. He has no pleasure in the judgments that are given out because that they deserve. He has no pleasure in any of that. He has great pleasure in watching His children walk in truth. And he shows that systematically all through the Bible. You can be as complicated as you want with the scripture, but don't miss the point. You know, study it. Some of us love to study every little minute thing and see the beauty of it. And it's a beautiful thing to see. But don't miss the point. The point is your relationship with God, you obeying His word and doing it so that you can have the promises that He has given. He has given these promises, He's given these blessings so that you can praise Him, glorify Him, thank Him for what He's done. You know, in Job it says, your sin doesn't move Him. Your righteousness doesn't do anything. You are a human being. Do you know, if I was sitting in a plane at 30,000 feet and I look out the window, I can't see any of you, even if you're waving at me. We're not very significant when it comes to the big, big picture. The only reason that you and I are significant, that we can talk the way we do, we can read these things, we can say, behold what manner of love it is that He called us the sons of God. You know why? Because He chose to focus on you. He chose to love you. And most people won't even give Him that. They won't give Him the thank for the air that they breathe, for the eyes that they can see out of. They won't acknowledge that there is a Creator. Why? Ooh, because then I'd have to be responsible for something. And I'd have to appreciate what's been done. But those same people would have no problem at all in preaching the reverse gospel. Why did God, you see, believe in God, why did God allow that? He didn't allow nothing, you did it. The wars, they go on, right? They're terrible. Children, people are slaughtered. Why? Because God did it? No, because evil men who don't believe the word, who want something that somebody else has got, start them. I want your land, I want your money, I want this, I want that. Whatever their lust is. That's why it happens. God didn't do it. But again, you'd have to read the Bible to understand that. So, go to, and I want you to understand, there is no subject. You want to know about something? Most people are confused about how to have a good marriage. It's all in the scriptures. Most people are confused about finances. What do I do? It's in the scriptures. The great truths of how to conduct your life are in the scriptures. Now, you can just do that and become a specialist. I got books on my shelf, you know, business by the book, talking about the Bible. They are helpful. They are helpful. But you don't want to just specialize in getting wealth. Again, don't miss the big point. He wants you to live this word so that your whole life is whole, blessed. He wants you to have forever with Him. You know? Forever with Him. He wants to heal us and deliver us from the sin nature that so plagues us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is God breathed in the Greek. Every bit of scripture is God breathed. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in how to live rightly. He has given you all everything that you need if you will look. And if you don't know where to find it, you can always ask. I mean, I ain't never that busy. I'll help you. Other people in this room will help you. I mean, we're not like in the desert here. We have everything that we need to live rightly. And again, this is not some bondage thing that I got to be, woe is me, I have to do God's word. Come on, wait. I mean, you've gone to the wrong church. You believe that. And this whole thing he's given us, doctrine, reproof, correction, this is all profitable for us so we know how to live right. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And these, I think you've all heard these verses before, but let me just repeat it again. That you might be perfect, fully equipped. The word perfect is fully equipped. Truly furnished, absolutely, completely outfitted, just like a ship going to sea, unto all good works. He's given you everything you need, like a ship that goes out to sea when Mary and I go on the cruise, you know. That boat's got everything. It doesn't park and get lunch. It's got everything it needs to feed thousands of people. To make them comfortable, to get them where they're going. Well, God has given you everything that you are ever going to need. That the individual, the man of God, the man and the woman of God will have everything that they need through this journey in life. You're lacking nothing. As long as you look. I think sometimes people get stuck. I think they either get stuck because, I'm busy. Well, if you're that busy, something's wrong. Because this is more important to have this kind of surety. You know, this kind of stability. You got these answers. They're right in front of your lap. I was watching last night on YouTube. I was watching about William Tyndale. It was I've read about him and I've seen things about him. He's a famous man. He is an individual who lived around 1530. Brilliant young kid. Went to Oxford at the age of 12, stayed there for 10 years, learned all kinds of languages. The man was a genius. He was a kid. He's a genius. Put me to shame. And they didn't teach the Bible at Oxford. He was taking theology, but they don't teach the Bible at Oxford. In fact, they didn't teach the Bible at all in the 1530s. Or at that for 1,000 years, because there was only one church. It was the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church didn't educate its people, and it didn't put the scriptures in writing. You listen to the Pope, you listen to decrees of the church. I mean, you just followed along, right? Tyndale saw the scriptures for the first time in Greek, and he thought, everybody ought to have this. So he started to translate the Bible. This is a 1611 version with modern English, right? He did it in 1530. And you know what he got for all of his troubles? He got burned at the stake. Because it's illegal to have the Bible in English. In England. You know where most of the words that you and I read from the King Jimmy? King Henry put him to death. King James, 10 months later, they decided to make this. Was Henry, 10 months later, after he killed him, he says, yeah, we ought to do that. God has inspired people to give you this in your lap. And they paid for it with their lives. Don't take it for granted. We take everything for granted. I know that. Don't take anything for granted. Every day is a gift. Every blessing that you have is a gift. Be grateful and thankful and take it in. He's given you this word so that you are fully equipped for everything and anything in this life. That you could be his man, his woman, and walk with him. Go to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, chapter 1. It says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. He's given us everything that pertains to life. Wow, talk about big teaching. And godliness, talk about another big teaching. It's all inside this. And it's all according to the knowledge of him. That hath called us to glory and virtue. He has called you to your future forwarding address is glory. Glory. If I was a good preacher, you take that word, right? And dance around. Glory. And virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're exceeding great and precious ones, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us everything, and we can partake of his nature. You know, we have the ability to love with his love because he poured the Spirit in us. He poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I have the ability to love with his love. I have the ability to manifest the Spirit of God. I have the ability, the God-given ability. I think in the manifestations, I have given you everything. Sanctification, justification. I've called you out. I've given you power. God constantly reminds us of what he has done. What did he get out of it? Hopefully loving children. Psalm 25. In the 25th Psalm, verse 12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way, and he shall choose. Excuse me, in the way that he shall choose. God's going to teach us what he wants us to know, if you're looking for it. Do you fear him? You know, then I'm not living my own life. I'm trying to serve. You know why? Because I've been so loved. I've been so served. I've been so blessed. I've been given so much. Freely you have received. Freely give, it says. I mean, that's the point. Because I know I've been blessed with so much. Therefore, I try to serve. I do my best. Verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. You're going to have peace. The person who fears God is going to have peace. and your seed is going to fill the earth. Proverbs chapter 3. I think you all know this one's one of my favorites. Taught my beautiful granddaughter this first. It says in chapter, in verse 5, Proverbs 3, you trust in the Lord, you trust in Yahweh with all thy heart, and you lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And the result, it shall be health unto thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be just health in your whole life. You know, it doesn't mean it's a cure. Okay? It just means the big picture. You're going to be whole. You're going to be filled with what is necessary. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own sense, knowledge, thinking. In everything you do, you ask him, what should I do here? You know, some of you are experts in stuff. But just ask him anyhow, because he's more of an expert. Just ask him, and he will direct your path. These are promises to you. They're yours to have if you request, if you seek, if you desire and want. But you've got to be a little humble to ask on this kind of level. You have to be, you know, I don't know everything. God does. Yeah. There are great guys that did this. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. I just want to put it in perspective. Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel was one of the great men, right? One of the great men of God. One of the great prophets. And it says this about Daniel. In chapter 6, verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was so good, the unbelievers thought, this guy ought to run the country. They saw the quality of his life, the integrity of his life. They saw how he handled himself. They saw how he loved his God and he wouldn't compromise, and that he was smart and he seemed to get the information that was necessary. Remember when, you know, God showed him great things and I'll interpret the dream for you. I mean, this was all God giving him all the advantages. Why? Because he did it. Because he did what he always asked. He did what we just read. He lived his life this way. It says, so this is what happens in real life. So Daniel is an outstanding individual, is really doing well. The king wants to promote him. Then the other guys, verse 4, right? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find nothing, none occasion nor fault. Here you have all his competitors, vicious, wonderful politicians. Oh, we love these people. They're looking for any little thing that they can find. Any little thing. And believe me, They turned every document over. They checked every business. They looked through every balance sheet to see where the money went. And they couldn't find a single thing. Can you imagine that an entire nation is looking to screw up this one man and they couldn't find nothing? So they said, verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We got to go after what he believes. We got to go after how he lives. Then the presidents and the princes assembled themselves together and the king, and they said unto him, King Darius, live forever, this stroke and this guy. And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors, and you know what? They came up with this plan. King, you're so fabulous, you're so good. Let's make a decree and do it according to the Medes and Persians, which never changes. You can't even change it. That anybody who makes a petition or asks anything of any god except you, that they be thrown into the den of lions and killed. And this guy's ego was so, ooh, man. I am the man. So the dope said, okay. And as soon as Daniel heard that it was signed, he knew the king was stupid. He wasn't angry at him. He just knew he was stupid. And he knew they had him. And he went right back to his house. He opened the window and kneeled down and prayed to God like he did every day. And they said, we got you. And they tried to kill him. And God delivered him. But the quality of his life. Now, who the heck was Daniel? Daniel was a little slave boy. That's where he started out. This kid was a captive slave boy. He had a brain, but what separated him out from the others? What separated the believers? God took care of those believers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave them more brains than they really had. He gave them what they needed because Daniel made one request. I don't want to eat from the king's table that's offered to another god. Just give me vegetables. And it was a request because he was a little slave boy. Now he could have just folded like a towel. He just could have cried and said, where's my mommy? Instead, he trusted in the Lord and honored God and wanted to do his word. And God did this. See, God was the one who did it. Daniel just followed. Daniel chose to believe, to follow it, to discipline himself to do it, and not compromise. Here's another guy, Josiah. I was reading him. Go to 2 Kings. I got to Josiah the other day because I just got through with Micah. And he was a contemporary. So I thought, I don't know that much about Josiah. Let me look. So 2 Kings 22. This kid starts, and you want to talk about how many 8-year-old children do you know run the country? I think sometimes we might be better off. Verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when the king, let me show you, he was 8 years old. Verse 1, it says 22:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years. I want to get to verse 11. So he starts out at 8. It says, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law. He's 8 years old, got a good mom. They're teaching him, obviously, some great things. His father was a bum. His father was one of the most evil men in Israel. And this 8-year-old starts to reign. They find the word. They find the word of God in the temple. They'd lost it. They bring it out and they read it in the ear of the king. And I believe at this time he's 16. All right? And what he does is he rents his clothes, which is, oh my God, I can't believe we're in this shape. He shows great sorrow and humility. It's one of the symbols of tremendous grief and humility and repentance. He rents his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and Hyakim, and the son of this other fellow, and the other guy, and all the rest of them, the servants of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. And Hilkiah the priest and all these other guys, they went unto Hildah, all right? That's the best I can do. The prophetess. So they went to the prophet lady. Most of you guys didn't even know that she existed. Hiltha, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of this other father, all the others. And then it says they dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. But because you have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger, and that all the words of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heard what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become as desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and has wept before me, I also have heard thee, saying, said the Lord, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place. And they brought forth the king the words again. Josiah was one young man. He heard the word. And he repented. He was humbled. He wanted to find out. And he sent his people to the prophetess. And she gave him, and these words came to pass. Jerusalem was destroyed right after the reign of Josiah. And because Josiah acted the way he did, because he wanted to do the will of God, and he loved the Lord and feared the Lord, God, all the days that he reigned, this isn't going to happen under your care. Now, when you read about his reign, Josiah did it the best he could. So what did he do? He got all excited. We found the word. I'm going to make it a law. You're not going to worship any other god but the Lord, right? Well, making laws don't change people. You read the book of Micah, they didn't change. They were a bunch of filthy, perverse. God says, you guys, you know, you cannibalize one another. You treat each other so badly. But he made laws. I think the Christian church wants the government to make laws that are godly. Well, it ain't going to work unless the people are godly. Yeah, they're just going to rebel against that. You tell me, put up a sign, don't walk on the grass. What are people going to do? Tell them, oh, we tried this, prohibition, didn't they? My grandmother used to say, you sneak around with a speakeasy and give them the code word and go in and have your booze. It didn't stop people from drinking. It just put them underground. Right? So we'll try it the other way. We'll make laws that you can do anything you want. So now we got people shooting up in the middle of the street because we don't want to prosecute anybody anymore. Let's just let them kill themselves. Get rid of them that way. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate spirituality. And Josiah tried, but it didn't work. And Jeremiah told them it ain't going to work unless they change their hearts. And they didn't. But Josiah never saw the evil that God was going to do. Right after Josiah's gone, kaboom. That was almost like 100 years, like I said, between when it was spoken and when it came to pass. And the reason was because people repented. They repented under the reign of Hezekiah. The people changed, as well as Hezekiah. And it didn't happen for 100 years. Josiah was the last guy. And it was because there was one man, prevented it from coming on everyone else. And they all deserved it. How about when you live the word, when you live the word, extraordinary things can happen. Tremendous, wonderful blessings. You can touch the lives of many, many other people. You can touch the lives of the people that you are around and live with. But you got to stand on the word, not your feelings. You know, it's like when Glenn played, God give us the ability to speak what is necessary to speak. Everybody's so afraid of, our culture today is sort of like castrating every male. So we don't want you to be too toxic. Yeah, people can be toxic, but there's a reason that God put leadership in men. There's a real reason for it. And if it's done godly, then just like Daniel, just like Josiah, just like all these other great individuals, it's really beneficial. And that's just one example in our society. They want to cut everything apart. There's no such... God made male and female. Nah, well, we got all kinds now. Yeah, we got all kinds. What are you, stupid? You know, what I just said preacher was arrested not very long ago in Canada. They jumped, came in the door, and they came down the church thing, and they arrested him because he read Romans chapter 1. It's just a couple hundred miles from here. They arrest people if you stand outside and silently pray. You're not even saying it out loud. And they arrest. This thing's going down the tube. This thing is not going in the right direction. So you better figure it out. You better saddle up and figure it out. But if you walk with him, you fear the Lord, you do his word, you live uncompromisingly, he'll take care of you. All those promises that we read are yours to have. They're all yours to have. Because God says so. And there ain't nobody pushing him around. You know, Joshua was another one in Joshua chapter 10. I got to hurry up. In Joshua chapter 10, remember Joshua, God said to Joshua, go in and possess the land. And so Joshua is in a battle and he says, Lord, make the sun stand still. And it said, and the sun and the moon stood in their place for almost a whole day. And it says, never has God heard the prayer of another man like he did in the days of Joshua. Who was Joshua? Again, he was a slave stone cutter. Was it Joshua's great ability? Was it Daniel's greatness that got him on the road to greatness? No, it was their fear of God and their obedience to him. That's what elevated, that's what elevates all of God's people if they're going to be elevated. You got no disadvantages when you walk with him. These are all ordinary working people that we read about in the scriptures. The prophets, they were farmers, herders. I mean, there wasn't any royalty here. God don't call royalty. He don't need you to have money. He owns the planet. He owns more than the planet. He owns it all. He don't need nothing from you except your humility, your fear of the Lord, your love for him, and your obedience. That's it. It's all he needs from anybody. He don't need you to be educated. Go to Matthew chapter 10. He don't need nothing. And I really sincerely, I mean, I guess you can criticize what I'm saying. I'm sure that there is a more eloquent way of putting it, but I don't have that. I got what I got. You got what you got. The experience that you've had in your life and the experience that I've had in my life have given me places in my faith that I can touch certain folks. The things that you can touch in somebody else's life are probably have a lot to do with where you came from and what you went through. It adds on to the wisdom that you have from God and his word. I think you understand what I'm talking about. I would have a heck of a hard time impressing some multi-million dollar vocabulary professor. But I could still talk to him plain if he's got a little bit of time to listen. But I'm certainly not going to impress him. Not that way. See, the word of the Lord is power. The word of the Lord is deliverance. The word of the Lord is the power of God unto salvation. And as long as McCabe is speaking that, you should be impressed. Not because of the vocabulary of Micah or Haggai or Hosea, but because of the gospel. That's what brings deliverance. You know, Jesus called 12, chapter 10 of Matthew, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits." Oh, what class did they take for this? Now get it straight, okay? The Lord says, "You got this. I gave you this." Then guess what? Just go do. Just shut up and do it. "Oh, no, I don't feel. It doesn't seem right." How? Just do. Just do, because he has given it. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them the ability to do it. Now, it's obviously not without God. You're not walking around and deciding, "Oh, this one's wacky. Let's get that spirit out of there. And then this one needs healing. Let me just decide to heal them." No, this is all at God's direction, just like he's going to teach them. Jesus always spoke the words God wanted him to speak. He always did the things God wanted him to do. He did nothing of himself. He says this plainly. So keep it in context. And then these are their names. Verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter you not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go and preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And then he gives them instructions. Don't take anything with you. When you get to a house and they accept you, you eat off of their table, because a laborer is worthy of his hire. And if they don't accept you, you take your peace with you, go out, go find someplace else to go. Same thing with the city. Same thing with anything else. You just keep moving. You just keep moving. This was his instructions to them. All right? And he tells them, he says, "I'm sending you into danger." You know, these are 12 ordinary guys. They're fishermen. They're all from Galilee. They were uneducated Galileans. Remember how despised they were in the book when they stood up in the temple, and then they came before the Sanhedrin and whatever when they in chapter 4 of Acts? Aren't these all Galileans? I mean, they had nothing on nobody. I don't know what group we'd put them in today, but these are the low-class, uneducated, good-for-nothing. We let them sweep the house. I don't care about these people. These are the individuals Jesus selected personally. He selected these 12 regular working people. All right, well, you had one zealot, one political zealot, right? I mean, he got the political zealots. He had one tax collector who worked for Rome, who was really a traitor against the nation. And he's going to give them the responsibility of moving the word of God and the ministry of reconciliation to the world after he's gone. And he spends most of his time with these 12. And there's no plan B. If these guys screw it up, there's no plan B. And he's good for what most of the elite would think good for nothing people. Just like you and me. Nobody's knocking on my door asking for help. Governor. The county, the sheriff don't ask nothing. I mean, nobody asks nothing. These regular folks, Jesus gave the entire ministry to. He taught them what to do in a real short time. They probably had 6 months of, from the time here to his death. And he just said, I'm giving you the power, do it. And guess what they did? They were so done, they just did it. And when they fell down on their face, they came back and said, Lord, how come we had a hard time with this one? And he told them why he had a hard time. He gave them the information they needed. He told them, this is what, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. What are you kidding me? You got God in Christ in you, folks. You got God in Christ in you. You can do whatever he said you can do. At his direction. As you wait patiently at the door and lean in to hear what he's got to say. It's not on you to bring it to pass. That ain't never going to happen. It's on him. It's on you to allow him to work within you, to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what's on you. It's on you to allow him to work within you, to be humble, to listen, to seek his counsel, to seek his word, to seek his will. And you don't judge your effectiveness by the response. You know, I pour my guts out for people at times, and then they don't appreciate anything. That's nothing new for me. I've been doing this a long time. It's happened numerous times. I don't owe anybody anything. I do my best to serve. Jesus didn't owe anybody anything. He served. He served them with love, with power, and they killed them for it. They killed these 12 too. Well, 11. This one was a traitor. He killed himself. The 11 that were left, they all got martyred, I believe. Maybe with the exception of John. They served him faithfully right to the end. And they didn't do it as a group. They did it individually. They moved out individually into the world. And they did what their Lord gave them to do, to the best of my understanding. And you and I are still here 2,000 years later in this little church on Long Island talking about it. I guess that's pretty impressive. I'd say they did a good job. I say Tyndale did a good job, and he was appreciated for this. You know, when his book really did come out in English, they didn't even put his name in it. You know, we get to hear King James. His name's on it. I authorized that. They wouldn't dare put Tyndale's name. Don't matter. God knows. God knows. Let's just keep it straight in our heart. Let's keep it straight in our heart and our life. The last point I'm not going to be able to teach you. I only got 2 minutes. But I can tell you about it. All right? See, I'm not my own. A lot of this has got to do with your perspective. When I got in the Word, I wanted the blessings. But I didn't want the responsibility. I just want the blessings. Just give me the blessings. Well, I grew up. And I realized that Jesus Christ died for me. He paid the price for me. I owe Him. He's my Lord. I am His slave. That is my perspective. I have been bought with a price. I have been bought with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. I owe Tyndale a lot, but I owe my Lord everything. Everything. Now you can put a whole bunch of scriptures with that. I think you know where they are. And if you don't, read the book. I say that with a smiling face. We have so much in front of us. We have so much deliverance that you and I have seen. I mean, I've seen. And all you have to do is seek Him and continue to keep it straight with Him. None of the people that were doing miraculous things in the world's eyes were worth much of anything. Maybe you ought to look at that for a while and realize that that's great encouragement for you and me. That encourages me because this guy who grew up in Astoria, who didn't know much, didn't do nothing, didn't have much education that was worth a dime, I just did what I did, and God is the one that's allowed me to do what I do. And all I wanted to do is love Him and do my best. And He's the one. He's the one that works in you. He's the one that worked in Ananias. Hey, Ananias, go down the street called straight. I got a guy who's going to kill a whole bunch of people, but I blinded him, and I want you to go there and heal him so that He can serve me. Okay, Lord. Just a certain disciple. You don't hear from Ananias again. He changed history. Just obedience. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for everything that You have given to us. Help us, Father, to be of... to allow You to work within us, to willing to do of Your good pleasure. Help us, Father. Show us what we need to know and help us to have the heart to seek what we need to know, Father. Some of us really sometimes don't want to know, and that's why You don't show it to us. But I thank You, Father, for giving us hearts to serve, to realizing that we are not our own. That we as ordinary, wonderful working people, my God, are the ones that You've called throughout all history to do the great and wonderful things, the miraculous things that You have shown people throughout the earth. And thank You that we get to move Your word, my God, and touch somebody's heart. Thank You for all my brothers and sisters here, for everybody online. Thank You for all Your people everywhere, and take care of those that are being persecuted this day, Father. Bear Your arm for them, my Lord. And I praise You and love You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.